You're listening to The Daily Digestionalist with Matthew Heidmark at RadioArian.com.
Comrades, this is your host of the Daily Traditionalist, Matthew Heimbach, and I'm joined today with my co-host Jason Augustus to break down some of the world events that are happening right here today. That's the great thing about the Daily Traditionalist being here live with you, to be able to give you a nationalist breakdown of the goings on in the world. Instead of going to the Jewish-run media, you can go to real nationalists, providing a real perspective, because we're here to tell you the truth. So to kick things off, Jason, how are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Just great?
Just
Not stupendous?
Wonderfully, fantastically, stupendously great.
There you go. See, that's the enthusiasm we love here at the Daily Traditionalist. To kick things off, I want to talk about something that's being discussed throughout the media, and it's about the very nature of the media. Facebook, Twitter, and other portals are saying that they want to cut down the amount of phony news, fake news, things that might be biased or racist or anti-Semitic, by not allowing them to be able to use their AdSense and other ad algorithms to be able to get revenue. So, you know, really people have said that the stories, whether it's on the alternative media, and admittedly some fringe tinfoil hat conspiracy types that we don't deal with, but, you know, the information's out there, people should be informed enough to be able to make a wise decision. But this, to me, seems like they are lampshading, no pun intended, going ahead and talking about fake news, the outright reptilian-style stuff, as an excuse to be able to crack down on nationalists and be able to crack down on the alternative media, because, you know, one person's reptilians is another person's Breitbart. You know, to be able to see different perspectives, get that out there, and be able to make people have their own opinions instead of going directly through the Judeo-controlled media. So, Jason, I want to know your thoughts on this, considering specifically to talk a little bit about what you've brought awareness to with some of the platforms that have kicked off your music. Just going to show how things work with censorship, what you faced with these supposed codes of conduct, these terms of service that 14 Sacred Words has dealt with, where you find examples of absolutely egregious violations of the terms of service, but they get to stay, but it seems nationalist bands, they get them in a heartbeat. So let's kick off with that.
It goes back to we were talking about this a while ago, how a lot of people in this country think, oh, we have free speech, and they'll never get rid of free speech because it's in our Constitution. Like, the whole rest of the Constitution hasn't been smacked up back and forth. But yeah, there is, it's under attack severely, and through music it's been the case for a long time. They've been censoring it. It dates back before anything I've been doing. They've been kicking nationalist bands off of popular outlets for a long time to try to make it seem like it's not actually there. And now that, you know, they're doing it more prevalently in the digital realm now, they allow bands that they say no hate speech, nothing that can incite violence, nothing misogynistic, nothing like any of that. But they have plenty of bands that sing about rape, literally rape, and drugs, and killing people from various religions, except for that one special religion.
Of course.
So now we're seeing...
And telling, you know, songs about kids glorifying bringing guns to school and school shootings.
Yes, and more. I'm sorry to drop them. I don't mean to popularize them, but they have a song called Bring a Gun to School, which is sold on iTunes, it's sold on various media outlets, and it's about exactly what you think. It's not some coded thing. It's about bringing a gun to school and killing everyone in your class. And it's glorifying this, not like saying, oh, don't do that. We're seeing a lot of that kind of stuff happen now. It's trickling into the mainstream media and the news, where you can say literally everything so long as it's not pro-white and it's not against that special one group of people.
Well, I mean, it's obviously clear that there's a political agenda behind everything. You know, some of these reports I've been reading about this new attempt to be able to stop fake news, a lot of it originated from Europe. Some of these articles even mention the idea of alternative media. And it seems to me they want to keep everyone on the Judeo-approved, the kosher stamp-approved plantation for news, because if you get the same perspective from Fox News, from CNN, from MSNBC, from ABC, NBC, et cetera, and so forth. They all have essentially the same party line. They're like going to the same, frozen yogurt shop, and there's, 15, 20, 30 different flavors, but it's owned by the same guy, and he happens to be putting arsenic in every single flavor. So you get the illusion of choice, but you're still poisoning yourself. And this seems to be, also the publishing houses, if you just look, that a huge number of publishing houses are controlled by these conglomerates. These Jewish oligarchs control this disproportionate number of our media. So while there might be 100 different book publishers, at the end of the day, there's three or four Jews who control all of it. And this is able to restrict the amount of information available to the general public. They're trying to stop the free flow of information because nationalist perspective, looking at objective history, completely contradicts the Jewish narrative, the capitalist narrative, the oligarch's narrative. And they need to do everything they can to trick people into having an illusion of choice, but keep them on the same reservation.
That's exactly what it is. And we never actually had any advocate in the news. I don't recall a time. I mean, unless you count the little sprinkles they give us with the eerie music in the background, whenever they're doing a report on whether it's our organization or any other organization, we never really had a voice in the mainstream. It's only ever depleting, and it's going to get to the point of where Germany is right now, where it's not just that they're not allowed on these platforms. Eventually, they're just going to like nix completely the First Amendment.
Well, this goes. I was listening to a BBC World Report this morning with my coffee. I need some along with my caffeine. I need some rage fuel to kick off my day. And on the BBC, they were talking about Lego went ahead and pulled its support doing advertising deals with the Daily Mail. Now, the Daily Mail is a tabloid, let's admit that. Although back in the day, they did support the black shirts and Sir Oswald Mosley and the BUF, so God bless them for that. But, it hugely shared on social media. And of course, in between the bikini celebrities and outrageous things, they have been able to create a very large market share on bringing awareness to issues like with refugees, raping, murdering, the corruption of our elites. I mean, it's a very weird thing. I think of John Edwards back a few years ago where it was one of the newspaper tabloids right next to Bat Boy exposing that he was having an extramarital affair, among other things. So, tabloids, I'm not saying that they're the most objective, like Wikipedia. If you're going to read it, you have to verify it. But things like the Daily Mail have done a huge job in being able to awaken normal people to what's happening to the refugee question. They did a lot of things on Rotherham, where, again, you had almost 2,000 young women raped and trafficked by these immigrant populations, and the police did nothing. The political establishment was unwilling to tackle child grooming, rape, and human trafficking for the sake of political correctness. And it was only outlets like the Daily Mail and nationalist outlets that were raising this awareness. And the system didn't question the facts. They didn't question if we were right or wrong. They just said, well, these people are fringe. But what we're saying is objectively correct, that political correctness, the fear of being called a racist, all these different things are what have destroyed the ability for us to be able to know what's really going on. It's only alternative media outlets. It's only people like us that can bring awareness to this, to shine this light on the truth, because the system wants to hide it. They want to hide the rapes and sexual assaults that happened in Cologne. They want to hide Rotherham. They want to hide the jihadists, these Wahhabis that murdered and beheaded Lee Rigby and things like that. They want to hide that. So places like the Daily Mail, getting this information out, they're not nationalists. But we do know a huge number of people, as we saw with Brexit, as we saw with the election of Donald Trump, average everyday white people, specifically white working class people, want to know what's going on, and they know that the system is lying to them. I just saw a study, 70% of the American public does not trust the mainstream media. So people are hungry for the truth. They're going to go to wherever they can get reporting on it, and then they'll do more research from there that carries them forward. But so now with the Daily Mail for raising awareness about what is happening with the immigration issue in Europe, they're getting major companies that Hope Not Hate and other groups are protesting and trying to get all the companies that advertise with the Daily Mail or do promotions to stop their support because they're promoting racism and xenophobia and homophobia and all these other phobias that they put forward. And that just goes to show to me that this is concentrated not just the United States. When you bring up Germany, this is over the entire Western world, where they're using all of these things, all their power, this economic terrorism, of course, the threats that we all know about, to try and silence anything that goes against the party line. I mean, this is exactly Soviet style, tactics.
Right. To try to silence any voice that's trying to speak out or even speak up about what's happening is going to be silenced by the mainstream. That's what they do. I mean, it's, we've seen this happen in the past. I don't like to keep bringing up World War II, but they act like something isn't happening. They act like it isn't happening. They report that nothing is happening, but people still see it happening. So whether it's by word of mouth on the street, or whether people come up with their own outlets or even go to strange little tabloid outlets to get the message out, it's going to get out one way or the other. And terms like racist, xenophobe are getting ever broader, and people are just kind of getting tired of it. They're exhausted from trying to appease everybody. And I think they just have reached the limits of our sympathy.
Well, I mean, that's 100% correct. And, you know, it's one of the funny things that, you know, you do. It's not just us. It's everyday white Americans and Americans of different colors as well. I have a friend who's very old now, but grew up in the Soviet system. Was a young pioneer, did all the stuff, you know, lived and worked in the Soviet Union, was never a communist, but, you know, there was a party line and you had to abide by it, unless you were going to end up in the gulags. And you might still end up in the gulags because of the Jewish overseers and how that system worked. But talking about how you would listen to Radio Moscow, and you would read Sputnik, and you'd read Pravda and these other outlets, and be able to read through the lines. And it became an important thing to be able to get an idea about what was going on both in the Soviet Union and around the world, because everything was just within this lens of communism. Everything was in the Soviet perspective. So you had to learn to be able to read between the lines. And if you even had a report about tractor production or crop production or things like that, to be able to see, that the valiant workers of, of Ukraine turned out, X amount of stuff, and you go to the store and there's no bread when the wheat production's through, and you learn, okay, so we maybe hit half our target. And you have to learn to be able to decipher the truth through the lies and the propaganda of the system. And, when you've got Jewish oligarchs running the Soviet Union, for decades until Stalin started to clear things up and, eventually the Soviet Union fell and now nationalists are in charge. Nothing is different on the other side, of the Atlantic here in the United States or in Western Europe. The same Jewish oligarchs, they were running the Soviet Union, were the Bolsheviks, were being funded by the capitalists, many of whom were involved in the media here in the United States, big newspaper owners, things like that, that these Jewish oligarchs have a similar policy in every country. They've only got one playbook, and we can see it played throughout history. We can see it every day. And to me, it just becomes so clear that the average American, until the invention of the internet, was having to do what the Soviet citizens did at the same time, to read through the lines, to try and decipher, get those nuggets of truth that might slip through. I've always said that local media is usually far more fair and accurate and balanced than the more national outlets or international outlets, because there's more local control, not as much oversight by these Jewish commissars of political correctness and of multiculturalism. But, it's the exact same thing that's been going on for decades. And the internet offers us a valuable weapon to be able to create our own media in a way that was not available to us previously. Do you want to talk a little bit about the reach that our media has? Just your music being able to be listened to. I know when you go through your analytics, you get hits from not just Europe, but from South Africa, from the United States, all around the United States, and in Latin America, all sorts of places that you being here, formerly in New York, now in Indiana, can reach a global audience in a way that more and more people are canceling their newspaper subscriptions, these Jewish-owned media outlets, they're turning off their televisions, and they're turning to alternative media for news, for entertainment, for communication with one another. It's totally redefining the system that the Jews have had on lockdown for over a century. But the outreach and the ability to connect with people around the world, let us know a little bit of perspective about what reach you just see the internet provides.
This is why I always encourage people to find something that they're good at, something they're passionate about, and hone that skill and use it. Because you can use pretty much any skill to get our message out there, especially with the internet, because as you said, the internet creates a much larger reach. I've had views and hits from places I couldn't even pronounce. the reach is very, very, very wide. It's and the Jew has been doing this for thousands of years. And we are still having this JQ, which is so fascinating to me that they're able to cover their tracks so well over a very short period of time. And unless we actually drag them out of the shadows and into the light, every single time they try to do this, then they're going to continue to get away with it over and over again. So it's really important to use these platforms that we have, to use every single outlet at our disposal to speak our truth.
Well, and you know, it's Dr. Goebbels, of course, has the famous quote that you can call a Jew a swindler or an agitator or any name under the sun, and it'll slide off like water off a duck's back. But when you call him a Jew, he shrieks, "I've been found out." And it's so important for us to be able to identify and call out using our multimedia platforms and using the freedom of speech we still have in the United States to be able to speak for our brothers and sisters in Europe, to be able to talk about the Jews, to be able to talk about what they're doing, and to call them out for what they are. This is an organized Jewish conspiracy. And a conspiracy is when you've got a group of people with a malicious plan working in secret together. And to the point, it's not even the secret. We've had the Times of Israel and other news outlets written by Jews to other Jews saying, can we just admit we run Hollywood? Can we just admit and saying this is a good thing, or else you'd only have Amos and Andy and, Leave It to Beaver on TV, that Jews are so vibrant. So let's just admit that we run the media. And they have no problem even admitting it amongst themselves. This is not a secret anymore, because we can sit here and in 20 minutes, you can go through all of the conglomerates to trace one local newspaper or one local TV station to an affiliate, all the way to a conglomerate, which ends with a Jew. If you take 20 minutes to do the research, you can get the names from all sorts of websites that are provable that these Jewish oligarchs are the ones on the top. So we need to be calling them out for what they are. We can never back down from the Jewish question. Of course, it's so important for us to be able to call out the traitors within our own people, the traitors within other peoples. That's why I always encourage Minister Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam. They've done an amazing amount of scholarship on the role that the Jews have had negatively upon the African people, not only in the United States, but in Africa. It's important to call out the collaborators, but we can never lose sight of the Jews, because as Dr. Goebbels said, that they'll shriek out, "I've been found out." You know, this is what scares them. We can call them anything else in the world, but when you call a Jew for doing what Jews do in their organized conspiracy, they've been doing this from opening the gates of Constantinople to plunge us into two world wars, to everything we see today with our multimedia and the establishment and the control of our politics. Jews are Jewing, and they've been doing this for millennia. We need to call them out. We need to always be able to be open and honest about it.
Yeah, Jews suck. Really suck. It's so tiresome. It's like we were talking about the other day. There's things that we should be doing just as people. You know, as family men, as workers, as people with skills and talent, there's things that we should be doing. But because the Jew has been so incredibly persistent and insistent on our destruction, that we have been, it's our duty now. It's our duty as people of virtue to use these skills to fight them with.
Do not have arguments. Now, on to our next thing. Speaking of Jews Jewing, U.S. Representative Kevin Brady said that Republicans should defend free trade and the party should defend the Trans-Pacific Partnership in the new Congress. He said Republicans are going to continue to support the freedom to trade, blah, 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 don't withdraw, renegotiate. And this is now coming from the business community. It's coming just as we were talking about over the past week about what's going to happen under a Trump presidency. The Republicans are our real enemies, because the Democrats admit they're anti-white. They don't even hide it. They don't care. Even Bernie Sanders, God bless him. For all that I disagree with Bernie Sanders on, being a 75-year-old socialist Jew from New York, now in Vermont, at least God bless him where he said that he was ashamed that Democrats won't talk about white working class issues. Of course, he's still the same guy that said whites don't know about poverty. And I would encourage him to take a visit to Appalachia outside of his gated community in Vermont. But that's neither here nor there. He got a new summer home for endorsing Hillary Clinton. So I guess he's been a little bit busy. But even Bernie Sanders is talking about the white working class and how the Democrats have lost them because their policies are globalist. So Everyone knows the Democrats are the party of the establishment. They're the party of the oligarchs. They're a party of wanting to destroy white Americans. And that's not even a question. But it's the Republicans that lie to us, that we'll put on an American flag pin, we'll talk about family and God and all that good stuff and have campaign ads of them in wheat fields. It's kind of like the Republican equivalent of Aryan women in wheat fields. That's like their go-to thing. But they do everything they can to destroy the American farmer, to destroy the American worker, and to offshore our jobs and bring in more immigrants. We already see what Paul Ryan's doing, saying that there's not going to be deportation squads and things like that. I mean, I guess he doesn't know that Immigration and Customs Enforcement is like a government department already. That is our deportation squad that's supposed to enforce our laws. But the Republicans now saying, we must stand by free trade, the free trade that has destroyed. Now we have the Rust Belt. We used to have one of the largest industrial capacities in the world, especially post-World War II. And the Republicans are saying, let's support more free trade that has destroyed, absolutely destroyed these areas right after. We're a week past the election, where the Republicans won places like Michigan and Wisconsin based on Trump's policies on ending free trade and bringing jobs back home to the United States, where we can build things again. So what does that tell us when the Republicans, after this stunning victory, breaking through the blue wall of the Rust Belt, to be able to win these states that weren't even supposed to be in play because of the white working class that wants jobs, that wants opportunities, now they're saying, well, actually, forget that. Let's go ahead and support free trade. They are worse, in my opinion, than the Democrats. The cucks are worse than the Democrats, because at least the Democrats are honest about facing us in the field of battle, while the Republicans are subversive. They're rats.
Well, I don't think that the Republicans are ever put here to win. I think they're just there to lose graciously most of the time. All I've ever really seen is them espouse small things, little things that I agree with, and then a whole lot of stuff that I don't. So I can imagine that the average liberal, lefty Democrat is also disagreeing with all of that. So, I mean, the balance is always tipped for them to lose. They don't have our interests in mind, and they're only always maybe like a year or two behind the Democrats, whereas now they had to kick it into gear because Trump had like gently kicked them in the ass to remind them, you're Republicans. Like, you know, there's like things that are supposed to be different than you from the Democrats. So, yeah, I don't think that the bulk of America actually sees any real difference between Republicans and Democrats anymore. Now it's really just establishment. Now it's establishment and those who are not, like what you said with Bernie Sanders. The reason that he gained so much ground in my my lovely hometown of New York City was because he was anti-establishment. Mm-hmm. Our enemies, the ones who face off with us in the streets, the Antifa, are, or at least claim to be, anti-establishment, and they're all, you know, they're all Bernie bros until he dropped. But they were only Bernie bros because he was kosher himself, mm-hmm. not just kosher approved. They're like incredibly anti-Trump because he is not.
Well, I mean, that's all you need to know. And you know, when it comes to Democrats, are going to, I think, make overtures in the near future to the white working class to try and, you know, shh, it's okay, as they slide the knife into our chest that they've already done, you know, time after time after time. But these Republican traitors, I mean, this is why we need like the Traditionalist Worker Party. We need our own political voice, of where politicians are only listen to either pain or pleasure. The only two things they listen to is either pain or pleasure, right? If we can apply political pain through our own political voice of costing them elections, none of these guys are ideologues. I don't think, you know, if tomorrow Trump declared the White House was the Reich's Chancellery, elections were canceled, and we're all going to be real nationalists now, Paul Ryan would be like struggling to change his lapel pin before the camera clicked on. These people know who buys and pays for them. They know what the current political system is, and they're whores. And I don't even mean that dismissively. I just mean they sell their bodies for money, and that's all they do. They sell their bodies for money, and that's why so many, I mean, you know, I follow politics all the time. I know you do. I know so many of our listeners do, but I would have trouble naming a quarter of the representatives of the Republicans. And I stay in touch with things because these people are interchangeable cogs. They're all the same big smiling, handshaking used car dealers that, you know, can be replaced in a heartbeat. So we have to think that they have their own self-interest at heart. Where we can apply political pressure is even getting in a close district, a few percentage points of the votes on the federal level, then they're going to have to make the decision of where they're going to go. It's just like the Democrats with the progressive wing, very small compared to the overall Democratic Party, at least back in 2000. But the progressive wing was able to hijack the Democrats, running third-party candidates to cause them to lose, to push them to the left. We have the potential to do that on the right and then actually win political power on the county, the city, and the state level to show that our governance is better. But on the federal level, we have the potential to be able to use the carrot and the stick. If you vote the way we want on immigration, on trade, if you're an advocate for our positions, even though we don't trust you, we don't like you, then we won't cost you your job. But if you work against the interests of our people, we have no sacred allegiance to the Republican Party. We're traditionalist worker party members. We are white nationalists. We are not Republicans. But we can use the carrot and the stick to be able to impact American politics. Then, of course, we're gaining ground, building infrastructure on the local level. This all combines together for really a radicalization of American politics between the left and the right. And these cucks have got to go.
Yes, they do.
We have not to have arguments with these people either.
It's really important to keep things local so that the people can have a voice and that their voices are heard. When we have establishment candidates, we have, establishment politicians, Republican seats. These are guys that live a gazillion miles away in a much nicer community than the places that they claim to represent. So, yeah, I mean, it's no shocker that nobody's really supporting them or that they actually care if these people are elected or not, because they know that those people don't care about them.
Well, it's like here in Indiana. I mean, now Senator Todd Young, formerly Representative Todd Young, who I passionately loathe on both a personal, professional, and political level. There's so many inception levels of just disdain for Senator Young. But I don't think he did a single outreach in this part of Indiana. And that's because it's a solidly Republican area. But that's, if you just want to talk about taking people for granted, I mean, not even having a town hall, not even having a meeting, not understanding the concerns of the people. Senator Young spoke nothing. You know, here, the largest factory in the area is in the process of closing right now. It's going to unemploy hundreds of people. It's going to ravage our local economy. And he was running to be our senator, and he didn't say a single thing about what was happening. Because he's totally disconnected. He was from Pennsylvania. He comes here and talks about Hoosier values. Don't pretend to be a Hoosier when you're not one. You know, I live here. I love being a Hoosier now. I'm a Southerner. I'll always be a Southerner. But I'd never pretend I was a native-born Hoosier. But Todd Young is just the example of what I'm talking about, of this used car salesman thing, where he has no connection to the people. And that's where we can win. Nationalism wins because we're engaged in communities. We listen to our people. We want to advocate for them. It's not about a party structure. It's not about Wall Street. It's not about the Jewish oligarchs. It's specifically about one thing, and that is our people. And that is what makes us different than the establishment politicians. So, Jason, we're coming to the end of our show. Go ahead and give us a great final thought. It has to be moving. It has to be written down in the history books, inscribed in stone. This has got to be a good one, because Tuesday is one of those hard days. We're not even halfway through the week. Leave us with something momentous and powerful.
This is not my Batman cup. Okay, no, that's not going to be my last words. My last words are, the Republicans are a job. It's like a high-end job that everybody's after. So whatever local Republicans you have, they're not interested in your community. They're interested in how many more zeros they can add onto their paycheck. They're not our political party. They haven't been in a very, very long time, if they ever were, and they certainly aren't now. So we are all we have to rely on, and we need to use everything at our disposal, everything within our reach, to reach our people, because no one else will.
See, that was a great final thought. I love it. And comrades, that is 100% the absolute truth. We need a party for us and by us. That's what the Traditionalist Worker Party is. That's where the Nationalist Front, we're uniting together all the organizations to have a unified voice for white America, because the Republicans don't serve us. They work actively against us. The Democrats don't serve us. They actively work against us. And those two parties work in collusion with one another against the interests of white America. So remember, we are here to fight for you. Join the fight today at tradworker.org. Check out our new Unity website at nfunity.org to be able to take a look at the Nationalist Front. And know that our future is in our hands, and the future of our children and grandchildren depends on us. So let's come together, work together, and win together. Jason, thank you so much for being here today. Thank you, comrades. I look forward to joining you tomorrow with another edition of the Daily Traditionalist. Have a wonderful day, and hail victory.
You've been tuned into the Daily Traditionalist with Matthew Heibach. at RadioArea.com.